and Christ Jesus, fellow redeemed in him. And quite a few years ago, I read of a Christian businessman who had in his office a wall hanging, but it had no pictures in it. It simply had two words in big print, "But God." And when people would ask him, "What's that all about?" he delighted to tell them that almost always in the scriptures, those two words, "but God," are preceded by a human need or dilemma. And the "but God" is the Lord's wonderful solution to meet that need. And ever since I read that many years ago, from that day on, every time I find a "but God" that meets that criteria or definition, I put a circle on it, around it. And it's been very fun continuing to read through the scriptures as I do daily, to come across those circles and to be reminded of the wonderful things God has done in intervening in behalf of his people. Because what God has done for others, he surely can do for us. And today I'd like to share with you one of my favorites. It's really foundational. It's the essence of the Christian faith, summed up in just about one sentence. And while we were sinners and could not help ourselves, God came and demonstrated his love for us by sending Jesus Christ to die for us. We were lost, but God came to redeem, to rescue, and to bring us back to a happy relationship with him. So I'd just like to share with you a few significant words based on that glorious truth. First of all, we're reminded, as Paul says, that we are, as human beings, in desperate need. There's universal need. You notice what he said, that all of us as humans were powerless to live up to God's perfect will and plan for our life. We're helpless. We can't measure up to love God with our whole heart, soul, and mind, and to love others as much as we love ourselves. We may not be as bad as we could be, but on the other hand, we're not as good as we ought to be. And so we are all sinners. Simply means those who miss the mark, who come short of God's plan for our lives. And that's every generation, not just a certain few, but all of us. This is the human dilemma. And the interesting thing to me is, in the human scene, that we humans, even though we know better, even though we know that if we do what we really feel like doing, and we know it isn't going to pay off, it's going to produce unhappy consequences, we don't seem to care, as long as we can do what we want to do, we're happy, and we don't care whether it makes others miserable or ultimately ourselves miserable. It's a mystery of the human heart that's always pulling us downward from God's good and gracious will for our life. And we so easily succumb to enthroning ourselves as Lord and Master of our own life, doing what we want to do regardless. So we're all in the same position. We all come short and our need of God's grace and goodness. You know, Albert Einstein, the great scientist, once said, "Of two things in this world I am certain are infinite, that have no end. One," he said, "is the universe itself, and the other," he said, "is human stupidity." And then he added, "Of the first, I'm not absolutely certain, but of the second, I am for sure." I mean, think of it. We have over 5,000 years of recorded history. We know what works and doesn't work. We know selfishness doesn't work. When people do what they want to do and they don't care about anything or anyone else, all we end up is with discord, disharmony, sorrow, suffering, wars, all kinds of discontent, hatred, misery. We know it doesn't work, but we know love works. When people care for one another, reach out in love to bless one another, and good for one another, we know that works. It produces what we want, happy relationships, good relationships. And yet, strangely enough, human beings continue to do their own thing regardless. Human stupidity is without end. I remember reading in the early 60s, there was a secular author who said, mankind has finally come of age. He said, we have reached the point now where we are smarter and wiser than we have ever been. He said, we have more knowledge and more intelligence that we have ever known in the history of mankind. And he said, soon and very soon, we're going to see our cities bursting forth with love and peace and harmony and goodwill. Still waiting, aren't we? Unfortunately, we're still waiting, and we will, because human nature doesn't change. It just keeps pulling us away from God's good and gracious will, and we so easily succumb to it. But God has a solution. It's the gospel of grace. But God, even while we were yet sinners, sent Christ to die for us. That's the gospel of grace, the good news that God brings to this fallen world. I mean, don't miss what he's saying there. While we were yet sinners, in his great love, God sent Jesus to redeem us and rescue us, pay the price for our sin, and to rise again that there might be a living hope, love and forgiveness for everyone. Notice that there's just no distinction, no conditions. God loves, period, because that's what we need, unconditional love. You know, if you and I were in charge of salvation, we might be very generous. But you know that we would draw a line somewhere, wouldn't we? We'd draw a line for some of those stinkers that are just no good. They're mean, they're nasty, they're wicked, they're evil. We wouldn't give them a chance. Send them out. Let God judge them. They don't even deserve a chance. But think of it, brethren, God gives everyone a chance. Christ died for all and is risen for all, and he bids, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me, and I will give you rest. You will confess your sin, receive me, you'll never, ever be turned away. The gospel of grace, there is nothing like that anywhere else in the world. You can read all the philosophy books you want, all the theological books going back in history or whatever you can find for today, and you'll never find that thought that God or the gods somehow love us, somehow care about us, somehow want to bless us and do us good. Brethren, that's found only in this good book, the Word of the Living God, who makes known to us something we could never, ever think of our own, that even while we were yet sinners, God loved us and cared about us and found a way to redeem us through sending his son Jesus to die for us and to rise again. C.S. Lewis said it so well. He said, God sends nobody to hell. People choose of their own free will to despise, reject, and ignore God's offer of total forgiveness, unconditional love, and thus take for themselves the judgment that they don't have to, that Christ took in their place. This is a glorious gospel message, nothing like it. Therefore, we do well, as Christians have for centuries, to set a time to ponder this amazing grace of our amazing God. Now, I'd like to share with you just a couple benefits, wholesome benefits from this gospel of grace. And the first would be that it produces or gives to us what every one of us needs, and that's love, genuine love, to be loved just because we are. As the body needs food, so our being needs to be loved. No exception, no substitute for that. You could have whatever this world has to offer, but if you have no love, no love at all, your life will be as empty as the church on Monday morning. We all need to be loved. It does wonderful things for life. One of my favorite stories is about a woman who used to visit her neighbor as often as she could without being a pest. And a friend said to her one time, "How come you try and visit her as often as you do?" And I'll tell you, she said volumes in the few words she used for an answer. She said, "I like myself when I'm with her. I like myself when I'm with loving people." It's hard not to like yourself when you know people love you and care about you. You mean something to them. You're special to them. Nothing like love to make you feel good about yourself. And see, God wants it all to begin ultimately with Him, that we know His unconditional love and His total forgiveness, that we might celebrate life as His kids and know the dignity, the worth, the value that each one of us has in Christ as a beloved child of God. But you see, to really be blessed by love, it needs to be unconditional. It needs to be grace love. Not love if we shape up or measure up or do this or don't do that, etc. That's entitlement. But just love because we are. You see, if you were to say to me, "You know, your wife Ellen really loves you." And I were to say, "Yes, I know that. But what else could she do? I'm so wonderful. I'm so good. I'm such a great guy. What else could she possibly do?" Then you see, the love of that lovely woman would be wasted on me because I'm so full of myself. Thankfully, I know the truth. I know that's a gift and a treasure God has given me, and I'm thankful for her and her love. It's grace, brethren, that touches our hearts and changes our lives. And we need to understand that with our relationship to God. We are bankrupt. And Paul said very clearly, why we were sinners. He didn't say why we were pretty good, not too bad. He said why we were sinners, cut off and separated from God. That's when God loved us, because that's what we needed, grace, love. And as we acknowledge our sin, then we can fully appreciate the amazing grace that God has. Some of you have heard my story through the years, and you know from what I've told you that I grew up introverted, shy, bashful, wrapped up in my own little cocoon, so to speak. Not good for much of anything, good or bad. And because I didn't do anything really bad, I thought I was really good. And so that God would love me, that's not surprising. Knowing as good as I was, that what else could he do? But thankfully, the Lord led me to the Word, where I understood that I got a lot of selfishness, too, that I need to get rid of and shows itself in my life. And I understood that I was far, far away from fulfilling God's plan for my life to grow in Christ and to be a blessing as God has blessed me. And once I realized that, then grace dawned on me in all its glory, and God gave me a song to sing. Because there's nothing like being graced. It's the most wonderful thing that we can know in this world, to be loved just because we are. That's one of the great benefits of being a child of God. Unconditionally loved, and to enjoy all the significance, worth, and value that God bestows upon us through that grace because of our faith in Jesus. And then this would be kind of my final thought to share with you, one of the blessings. We could talk more, but the blessing is that we then, being loved of God, can reach out and love others. As God has loved us, first of all, unconditionally, so then we can reach out and love others and bless them because God has first done that for us. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful as we would go through life that everywhere you went, people would just love you? I mean, they would just be all falling all over you, so glad to see you, and how wonderful to see you or see you again, etc. But you know that's not true, is it? Not true at all. In this world, the principle is sowing and reaping. If you want love, you need to sow love. If you want to reap some good stuff, you got to sow good stuff. And so God comes to us, first of all, that we might then be able to respond and give love unto others. And remember this, brethren, that love is the decision. It's not always just how you feel. Love is the decision to do the right thing, whether you feel like it or not. Now, I'm glad there are a lot of times I feel like doing the thing I should. But there are a lot of things I don't really feel like doing. Other things I'd rather do just for my own comfort. But if I'm going to do the right thing, I have to choose as an act of faith and response to God's grace to choose to do the right thing. And brethren, that's what I like to think of as the practical power of the gospel. God comes to touch us and change our life, that we might become loving people, not only towards God, but to pass that love on to others. Because love simply means to try and bless and to do what's right for the others. And that's always a difficult thing at times, to figure out what's the right thing to do to be a blessing. But anyways, as long as we have the right attitude, the Spirit of God will lead us to experience what He wants us to do. And so think of the potential, the power of the gospel in the lives of God's people. That we have a power that's greater than ourselves, greater than this downward pull of the human nature. And we're never going to overcome it completely or fully, but at least we have the power to overcome, to say no to it and yes to Jesus, and do the right thing, the loving thing, sowing good seeds of love that return back unto us in love. Just think of the power, the positive influence of God's people as we celebrate the grace of God given to us in Jesus, as we daily celebrate that and enjoy that goodness and then seek to pass it on to others. The powerful influence of the gospel to enhance all relationships, marriages, families, congregations, fellowships, as people receive of Christ the unconditional love and then pass it on one to another. Because Jesus then proves Himself to be the glue that holds us together and at the same time the motivation to rise above ourselves and to be Christ-like in the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to close with a story I want to tell you. It's a true story about a good brother in the Lord I've known for many, many years. And he was telling me some time ago, as he left church one Sunday morning, a friend said to him, "You know, I think a person ought to leave church with a little sense of guilt. So you feel that you really need to try harder. You ought to move up a little bit, trying to do better. And my friend said to him, I understand what you're saying. But he said, I want to leave church drenched by the grace of God. Oh, I said, amen to that. Drenched by the grace of God, he said, so that I cannot help but want to serve God with a joyful and thankful heart for what God has done for me. Now, I can tell you honestly that Ellen and I have been praying about this Lenten season. We prayed, first of all, for ourselves and our families, that it might be a season of fresh touches of God's grace, or maybe even drenched by God's grace, whatever the Lord would choose to pour out upon us. That this Lenten season, 2018, might be the best ever. And God is able to pull it off. So we're praying that for you, and we trust that you will take that to heart. And yourself, make that your own personal prayer. Lord, may this be the best Lenten season ever. May I be touched by the grace of God in fresh, new, wonderful ways, or just drenched by the grace of God, whatever, Lord, you prefer. But I want to experience from you some fresh, wonderful touches of your love so that I might serve you with gladness and ever-increasing joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I have a little song. I'm not going to sing for you, so. One of my favorite songs. I don't know if some of you have heard it, but everybody needs a lot of love. Well, anyways, it's just a great, delightful little song, and it's so true about life. Everybody needs a lot of love, because love keeps forgiving the mistakes we make in living. Everybody needs a lot of love. So we should be able to see it and hear it. It's all set, right? Okay. Hey, there it is.
All right, I'll tell you what. Now that the music machine is working again, why don't all of you put your flowers in at the same time, and we'll see what happens.
Hooray! Let's put them in.
In the ground, can't pile it in a mound, can't sniff it like a hound on a trail, can't hear it make a sound, can't see it turn around, can't send it back to town in the mail, and you can't live without it, ain't no doubt about it, everybody needs a lot of love, cause love keeps forgiving the mistakes we make in living. Everybody needs a lot of love. You can't buy it in a store, you can't divide it into four, you can't hang it like a board on the wall, you can't pop it like a floor, you can't stop it like a door, you can't keep it like a horse in a stall. And you can't live without it, ain't no doubt about it, everybody needs a lot of love, cause love keeps forgiving the mistakes we make in living, everybody needs a lot of love. Despair. You can't rub it like a bear rubs a tree. You can't can't put it in the air, can't push it down the stairs, you can't pull it like the hairs on your knee, and you can't live without it, ain't no doubt about it, everybody needs a lot of love, cause love keeps forgiving the mistakes we make in living, everybody needs a lot of love.
How many of you have heard that before? Well, just a couple of you. Okay. Wow. Well, if you hang around me, you'll be hearing it. I love it. That's such a cool little song. You gathered from it. It's a kid's song. It starts out with a little kid sing. But it's a great, great song.